Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations here on 88.5 KRFY. I'm today's host, Chris Bessler. In today's interview, we're taking a look at the Lake Pendre School District plan to reopen the schools this fall, which actually is just a month away now, on September 8th. Today we talk with Superintendent of Schools Tom Albertson and Andra Murray, the District Director of Teacher and Professional Development. The district just last week released the draft of its plan for different levels of operations of our schools based on the degree to which the COVID-19 virus is circulating through the community. Our guests tell how the plan was developed and give details on the different levels of school operations to expect this year. But first, here are a few words about this show. We air Community Conversations every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. with recorded interviews on local issues. Plus, there's a podcast of each show that's available after airtime on our website at krfy.org. Please note that we record our interview over the internet using the Zoom application, and in a few spots the audio warbles a bit. But those spots are brief, so please stick with us. Community Conversations is actually just a stand-in for the live morning show that formerly aired at this time. We intend for the morning show to come back once we get past the coronavirus precautions that have closed our studio for live interviews. So with that, let's get on with today's interview. We're talking now with Tom Albertson, school superintendent for Lake Pendre School District, and Andra Murray, director of teacher and professional development. Tom, thank you for speaking with us today.
Thanks, Chris. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
Andra, yes, same to you. Thanks for speaking with us.
Nice to be here.
So we're going to be talking about the impacts of the coronavirus on school district operations, specifically for the upcoming school year. It quite severely curtailed operations in the springtime. It caused closures of schools until we got to the summer break. And since then, the school board and the district have been working to develop a reopening plan should the coronavirus cases continue at high levels, which unfortunately, as we're recording this, they still are. The district released its plan, which calls for schools to start again on September 8th, but hinges the different operational levels for the schools based on the levels of the coronavirus spread in our community. And we're going to talk about the details of the plan in just a moment. But Tom, I thought we would start with some background first, if you will, and tell us how the plan was developed.
Yeah, so we waited for the State Board of Education to give us the framework. So there was the back to school framework that was designed through Governor Little's office and also the State Board of Education. And basically that's what every school district was given to start with. And it was multicolored. It had a green level, which would be some criteria that you needed to follow, which meant there was very little to no community transmission of COVID-19. There was a yellow, which meant that there was minimal to moderate. And then there was red, which means that there was extensive COVID-19. And so they gave us those kind of that framework for us to develop ours off of. A lot of dialogue, a lot of meetings with regional superintendents and regional school districts. So there was this is Lake Pendre School District's plan was not done in isolation from a lot of experts in the area. Also a lot of participation from the Teachers Association, our directors from maintenance, transportation, food service, and then the district office team of Lisa Hall, Zandra, myself. And then we included, secondary and elementary teachers. And through all of this, at the same time, we had a lot of guidance from Panhandle Health District. So, and then I even forget that I had sent two different surveys out and multiple phone calls to parents and took input from parents on what they were seeing and what are some of the important issues to them. So basically it was trying to get as much input from the community, from the different stakeholders, and even regionally and statewide as that we could. So pretty extensive work that was occurring all summer long.
And in totally new territory for anything that you've probably done in your whole career.
Absolutely. No one could be prepared for this.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and dig into a little bit more on these operational levels that you just described, the green, yellow, orange, red. And I should mention that there's detailed information that's available on the Lake Pendere School District website. If you go to COVID, that's COVID.LPOSD.org, you'll be able to see a great deal of details about these different operational levels. But what is the green schedule, which really is saying there's no community spread, which we're not at right now, but I guess we're going to hope that we get there at some point down the road in this very school year. But what would the green level be?
Yeah, well, through all the plans, I do really want to emphasize there was three priorities that really came up. And this was priorities that came up from getting information from multiple stakeholders. And that was basically safety of students and staff was going to be a priority, that we were going to make sure that our plan was doing the very best we could for keeping the safety of the people in the building. Maximizing the instructional time with the teacher within the guidelines that we could do that. We did get a lot of feedback from the remote learning that we had to do when we had the soft closure in the spring. A lot of families struggled with trying to teach their kids at home. So that information was taken into account. And then we also really want to provide as much educational choice for parents. We want to put the safest plans possible, but we also want to provide opportunities for families to make the choice of what's best for them. And so that was really kind of the three priorities. But and as you said, right now we got word last week from Panhandle Health that all the five northern counties are in what would be a category two for school reopening, which means that we would be starting school with the yellow modified blended learning plan. But, you know, even then in the green plan, there was a lot of work that went into play with just a cleaning, disinfection plan. We put water bottle fillers in every school so that it'll be a no-touch fillers. We've checked and double checked all of our air circulation systems, and we would also in this plan encourage a review of hygiene, hand washing stations. We're going to have still social distancing if we were to get to the green plan. I guess hand sanitization stations, not just the washing stations, you know. And so there's been a lot of work that our maintenance crew has done over the summer. But so really the green plan would try to make school look as normal as possible, what the new normal would be with all the increased sanitization and protocols with some social distancing. But but since we're in yellow now and we are putting most of our time and energy in reopening school in our blended learning model. So
let's go ahead and go through. Yeah, sure. You just described green. That's where we hope to get to as soon as possible. But right now we're in a community spread situation. So we're in this yellow level.
Right. So one of our biggest challenges is how do we get students back to the priority? We know what's best for students is for them to be with their teacher. How could we do that in a consistent basis? And you can see a lot of models throughout the United States within our region. We felt that it was important that we had a modified schedule that would give students the opportunity to go to school 5 days a week. And that happens in our yellow plan. In order to do that, we have two different plans, one for elementary in the yellow and one for secondary. And the idea is that we need to reduce class sizes. And at the elementary level, we're gonna strongly cohort students. So instruction's gonna look different in the sense that it's the day's gonna be shortened. It would be approximately arriving at school at 8 and being done at 1, with all the teachers' prep periods being at the very end of the day. And then, so a student coming to school basically would come straight to their classroom teacher, and they would spend the whole instructional time with that same group of students. No longer would you see the whole playground full of students intermixing with each other. For example, third grade students at Washington Elementary would be strictly with those third grade students and have very limited contact with the rest of the school population during that day. They would have, you know, with that teacher. So, you know, we've got to obviously have recess, but they would do it with their classroom teacher and with that same group of students. And how we provide all the services that we need to, again, would be more of a push-in model. So we're really trying to, at the elementary level, reduce the exposure that students and staff have to the smallest number of people possible. Knowing that this plan is only gonna work if we get partnerships with parents, that they monitor their students' health in the morning, and they keep their students home if they're not feeling well at all. Because one other thing that our teachers are going to be doing is they will be managing a learning management system. And at the elementary level, it'll be Google Classroom. But for the students who just don't come to school that day, they still can do remote learning through the Google Classroom and other accommodations that we can make for families. So teachers are going to, in this blended learning, on any given day, are going to have a group of students face to face, but may have some students who aren't coming purposefully because they may have some cold-like symptoms, something that we just really want the parents then to closely monitor. So anyway, it's kind of the yellow plan at the elementary. We also, though, know there are some families who are just not comfortable sending their schools back. So, sending their students back to school. Andrew, do you want to talk a little bit about our partnership with the Idaho Digital Learning Academy?
Yes. So we've long partnered with Idaho Digital Learning Academy, or IDLA, at the secondary level, but new through IDLA this year, they're offering an elementary program. And so for those families would like their child to stay completely at home, we are offering to register them with the elementary IDLA program, and we are covering the course fees. So that's new and exciting for those families. We recognize they want that choice, and they can register through IDLA and stay exclusively at home. At secondary, we've already had a partnership there, but for families who may be listening or their secondary school counselor to enroll in that program. So we do have options for our families who we know want to start the year 100% at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then go ahead, Chris, got a question?
Well, actually, I was just going to mention, Andra, when you're speaking, you're sharing a microphone. You'd get a little bit more in front of it because you're breaking up just a little bit.
Okay.
If you can. Tom, go ahead. You were gonna jump in.
I was just gonna say then, for grades 7 through 12, we do have also a shortened day, when we call it blended, students that come face to face on the shortened day will get a chance to be with their teacher every day. But there are going to be minutes of remote learning that are going to be required to make the state's minimum hours, and that would be outside of this shortened day. Again, we've moved all teachers' prep periods at the end of the day, so we've got more teachers teaching at one time, and we're also adjusting our schedule. So for the people who are familiar with the AB block that we've had at Sandpoint High School, it's now going to become a modified 4x4 block, or 5x5, maybe, if you want to think of the teacher's prep as one period. But students are going to be taking 4 courses at one time instead of 8 over 2 days. Now they will take the same 4 courses every day and then be finished with that course at semester time in January, and then take 4 new courses. So at the end of the year, they still would have taken 8 courses, but At any point in time, they're only going to have to manage 4 courses instead of 8. And we feel that if we need to go to remote learning, that will be beneficial for them to not try to juggle so much. So we've got some modified scheduling going on. And I have to teach every period at the secondary level.
Okay. If you can point the laptop more directly at the speaker, because unfortunately it cuts out a little bit, but that's part of the problem of living in the era of Zoom, I guess, isn't it? So in the yellow, and this is the hot button issue, I think, for the whole community, in the yellow modified traditional plan, what is the status of face coverings?
Yeah, so we're really trying to follow the CDC guidelines on that. And we also want a plan that is doable. So we don't want to have a nice plan on paper that we can't implement. So what we have our plan for the elementary students, and that would be students K through 6, is that while they're on transportation, or in transition, let's say to the hallway, before they get into their small cohort, we expect face coverings. And I have to clarify that face coverings could be a face shield, could be a mask, but once they're in their cohort, then we would encourage it, but it wouldn't be necessarily expected. We know that there are young kids that may not be able to keep that mask on for that long. And, we've got other safety measures that we have in this schools. We've got some polycarbonate dividers to divide tables up. So they would think of, and they're very clear, very high quality, that each student at a table, if there were 4 students at a table, would have like a sneeze guard on 2 sides from each other, and also social distancing desks. So at the elementary level, we're going from expected in transition to encouraged. And we really want families who feel that they want their student in a face covering the whole day at elementary to feel very comfortable doing that. We encourage that. But we know I've had lots of families tell me that their 5-year-old or 6-year-old is not going to be able to leave that face covering on the whole time. So that's kind of what's going on at the elementary level. At the secondary level, we're going to expect face coverings, and it is a shortened day. And I just really want to emphasize that all of these safety measures that we're putting in place our purpose here is to keep schools open. And that's the only motivation we have, is to do everything we possibly can to keep schools open. And by having staff and students in a face covering, is one of those measures that's going to help us do that as long as we can. So,
okay. You mentioned earlier that you're really taking your guidance on the threat level from the Panhandle Health District, and the health district itself is publishing, and I believe they're planning to do this every week, what the category level is, or the color level is for each of the 5 Northern Idaho counties. And I assume you get a report on that will help you set your operational level?
Correct. Yeah. So really it'll be a joint effort between Panhandle Health and our school board that'll decide the operational level. And like I said, as the first report came out last week, and we were category 2, which would be yellow. So that's why right now we're planning on opening schools up in our yellow blended learning plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and parents that want to be able to see the Panhandle Health District, how they set those levels week to week, I think they're going to plan to release them every Monday, or maybe earlier to the school districts, I'm not sure. But they can go to panhandlehealthdistrict.org and then click on the COVID-19 page. Okay, so that's the yellow level. That's the level we're currently at. We're certainly hoping we don't exceed that between now and the opening of school and the whole school year. but there are the orange and red levels. So Tom, why don't you describe what happens if the community spread increases and we need to go to an orange level?
I think I'll have Andra touch on that real quick.
Sure, Chris. So orange is really designed to, again, maintain some class instruction time. We heard through our parent survey that was really important to see teachers face-to-face, but it would further reduce the amount of instructional time students would have with their classroom teachers. So if spread increases and we need to move to orange, you would be looking at rotating days of in-person instruction. So perhaps if you were in group A, based on your family last name, you may come for in-person instruction Monday, Tuesday. Then we would have a deep cleaning day, hypothetically Wednesday. And then the second half of our district would come for in-person Thursday and Friday. So it would be taking our day-to-day model, splitting those cohorts in half, where students would have 2 days of in-person instruction and then move to three more of a distance learning model. So again, we hope things don't progress. We hope we don't get to a full remote model, but this would further split our cohorts in half if spread continues. And you've seen that model proposed in other districts, other states, but our family survey told us that five days of instruction and as much face-to-face contact that we could safely do were important. So we're starting with yellow, and orange would just reduce the contact time.
It'd be a staggered schedule, basically, for them to be in. Yeah.
And it would probably be more beneficial at the elementary level because it would strictly cut that class in half. We don't know that the orange would benefit at the secondary level because we feel that through our scheduling and changing to the 4x4, that we can already reduce our class sizes. So.
Okay, so you've given the broad outline of the operational levels here. What concerns or questions are you hearing from parents so far? This plan's only been out for, I think, less than a week.
Yeah, well, one of the big things that's a concern is our survey data told us that 28% of our families did not have adequate technology to connect to schools. And I say the word adequate because you may have some connectivity, but the connectivity enough to really watch videos that you needed to watch or to get that full instruction. So you know, that's approaching one in three families. And so that, again, that was another decision in our yellow blended learning plan of trying to, you know, have students come 5 days a week. And then we could send them with that work if they can't connect on the remote learning part of it. So, you know, that is one concern we have is connectivity. And I know Senator Jim Woodward is sitting on a digital divide committee statewide, and that is something that we're trying to address. But we do live in a rural area, and there's lots of hills and valleys, and connectivity is not just always readily available for all our families in all their homes. So the concerns we have, and you know, and I'll just have to say, I'll reiterate that families partnering with us on our safety issues, monitoring their own kids' health is so important. Understanding why face coverings are important so that we can make every attempt to try to keep schools open. This is not a plan designed to try to close schools and go to remote learning. We heard loud and clear the hardship it has on families for no place for kids to go, not having a skill set to maybe teach my own kids, along with the connectivity. There was a lot of problems with that soft closure. And so we're really trying to partner with families so that we can help out with that situation. So those are some major concerns. Andra, do you want to add anything?
Sure, Chris. Just one from the teaching and learning side that we heard is just that need to manage remote learning for our students and having multiple resources, multiple sites to go to, families needing to access different materials for one class versus another. So I just wanted to thank our staff and make sure listeners know that last spring, our secondary teachers spent some time doing professional development around Schoology. That is the learning management system that we use to load up assignments and to get a little more consistent in how we approach that, what we load, keeping it doable for families. And elementary will now have similar professional development the week before students return using Google Classroom. So we heard that input. We want to be consistent in the tools we use. And also just another reason that we're really hoping we can continue with 5 days of face-to-face instruction so that that remote learning piece is minimized, but we want to be as consistent as possible. So that professional development has been occurring all summer long and will continue in late August when our staff return.
Well, that's a good segue to my next question was how are teachers and staff reacting to the plan? They face probably the biggest potential health issues since they're going to be exposed to large numbers of kids, maybe in different cohorts, as you described the cohorts. Right. Have you been hearing concerns from them?
Sure. I think everybody's got some anxiety. This is a challenge for all leadership. Obviously, we started this segment of this show saying that Andrew and I did not expect to be in this position at this time. And our building administrators also are, working really hard to try to be creative. And then we know the teachers are going to come in with some anxiety. I know they're super excited to see their students. But, to be real, it is an unnerving time for all of us. And then we need to also think about the students coming into the classroom. They haven't been in the classroom since, the middle of March. So it's been a long time out. So there's a lot of new transitions and teach twos and, for everybody. We really want to put as many safety measures that are there, reduce our class sizes, provide as much support for our teaching staff, our bus drivers, custodians, everybody, as we possibly can, because you're right. They're going to be meeting with those students. So,
well, let's touch it based on just a few of the specifics of running a school. One of what you just mentioned, transportation. How will this change, bus routes, or will it change bus routes, or the way kids take the bus to school?
I really believe that parental choice comes in. We will provide transportation. We anticipate that maybe the ridership will be down a little bit because families that choose face-to-face may choose to deliver their students and pick their students up. But I say our transportation, again, is we sanitize the buses twice a day. We're going to have hand sanitizers on the bus as students get on. We'll have the face coverings expected. Families will sit together on the bus. We'll load the bus from the back seats forward. There's a lot that our transportation has put into thought is to keep that ride to school, as safe as possible. And if we have to adjust some routes and add a couple routes so that we make sure that we're not overloading and having too many people on the bus, we'll definitely do that. We'll know what the ridership's going to be soon. We'll be reaching out to families. So, but absolutely, it is something that's a challenge.
Okay, so let's talk about another service that a large service that the school district provides, and that's meals and nutrition for the kids. Are there any special considerations that are going to be taking place for the nutrition services?
Yes, great question, and a thanks to our food services team. We've been working hard to continue that kind of a grab and go, if you will, that notion that the meal can be picked up kind of in a sack, all the components together, and eaten in the classroom. So we'll have a breakfast plan where it can be taken and then directly to the first period or the beginning of day cohort. If you're in elementary, you take it right to your classroom. So you can imagine not mixing and mingling in a large school cafeteria anymore. And the same with a lunch service, that it would be more delivered to the elementary classroom, so they're staying in their cohorts, and different models of grab and go for secondary. So we're not queuing up in a long line. We're not mixing after we've spent the day trying not to. So again, a thanks to our food services team for working on that.
Okay, here's an aspect that'll probably be of prime interest to the kids themselves, and that's extracurricular activities, such as athletics or school clubs. What kinds of programs are gonna be permissible for extracurricular things?
We're following the Idaho High School Activities Association guidelines, and as of this week is actually the first week of fall sports. We put every program has safety measures in compliance with, face coverings in transition and face coverings even in the competition when appropriate. And then also face coverings with coaches. And then also the idea of cohorting as much as you can. I know that people say in their other states that have canceled those. If we move to red, we will be postponing our extracurricular activities. It's just written into our plan. But, the state talks a lot and people talk a lot about social emotional learning. Really truly believe we're social creatures in the sense that, being in isolation at home is not natural. And so, extracurricular activities could look very limited this year. We don't know how many competitions. We don't know how long we'll be able to sustain them, but I am very pleased with the safety measures put in place to try to, provide some type of activities for students.
And I'm going to throw it out there again that there's a ton of good information for parents to find on the district website at lposd.org and click to the COVID page. The direct link is covid.lposd.org. Is there a process for parents to be sending you questions?
Yeah, well, they can definitely email us. We also know that the families, if you go on that site and the reopening plan there, if you're interested in the fully online option, it has the contact information there to help assist families in that registration. We also know this week our building principals at the elementary level are reaching out to all the families. So what we want to know is, are you going to be sending your students to school? Are you going to be sending them to IDLA, or are you going to choose a different option? So we're really going to start that communication early. And even though usually our elementary school offices aren't open, every Wednesday through this month up until the 24th, when they normally would open, we've got them open. We've got new families moving to the area that want to register their students. We've got kindergarten registration. Everybody's trying to figure out what's best for their family. And like I said, is what we attempted to do is put out as many options as possible so families can pick and choose what they feel is good for them at this time. So really that's the communication is just starting this week would be directing to your building because, we're going to take this district-wide plan and then every building will be tailoring that to their building plan and we'll be communicating to the families.
And just to reiterate, the elementary schools are open on Wednesdays. Looks like from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for new students that need to get registered. But if you attended school last year, you're already registered.
Correct. And our elementary families should be watching today or whenever this airs for their survey directly from their school, confirming their enrollment or letting them know they'd like some outreach on the 100% online option.
Okay, Tom and Andra, are there some other things you'd like to bring up about the coming school year? We got just a few minutes left here.
Yeah, again, I want all listeners to know that we do recognize that this is a very you know, unnerving time for everybody, unknown. We're learning something new every day, and that we really want to partner with them. And we hope our plan can find something where they feel a comfort level. And again, our decisions were really based off of the feedback that we received from families on our surveys, and what we really feel is best for students and student learning. And so that would be my, I look forward to the partnering with those families. And again, you know, you can always reach out if you have further questions.
Okay. Yeah, well, this is certainly a tough time for kids and families to be going through, and the whole district. It really sounds like to keep the schools open is going to require basically everyone working together.
We're always thankful for our partnerships, but now more than ever. So absolutely.
Well, I exhausted our questions. Andrew, do you have any last thing you might like to say?
Sure. I just would like to reassure students, families, and staff. We know what's been transpiring since March, and we are absolutely looking forward to greeting our students who decide to return. We know that building up some culture and climate and connections after this long absence will be important. And we've adjusted some of our curriculum pacing and beginning of year assessments to really allow time to reconnect. So we're thrilled to greet you. And we know that there are teaching and learning implications, and we're ready for that because we want to greet our students and build those connections.
Yeah, let's hope for a great year. A very different year than we've ever had before, I'm sure, but it can offer lessons of its own and dealing with these sorts of problems. Tom and Andra, Lake Pend Oreille School District, I want to say thank you for taking time to talk to us today.
All right. Thanks, Chris, for having us.
Thank you.
That's it for our show for today. If you've just tuned in, you've been listening to Community Conversations on 88.5 KRFY. In our discussion with Tom Albertson and Andrew Murray of the Lake Pend Oreille School District about the district's plan to reopen schools this fall. I'm Chris Bessler. Please be sure to tune in each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. for more community conversations. If you happen to miss all or part of a show, remember you can hear the recorded podcast on our website at www.krfy.org and click to our podcast page. Thank you for listening today.